Okay, welcome everyone. There's some really great HA and DR enhancements from Mark and Scott before. It's exciting stuff that we can provide such a really good resiliency story within Linux Server 2013. So I hope everyone's had a really good first day. It's all been quite hectic, just sort of getting used to the flow of things. I'm like really overwhelmed, just like the sheer scale of people that are here. It's pretty crazy. Hands up if you got your Surface yet. Who's got their Surface? A bit, yeah. I saw the queues today and I was just immediately put off. I had to like weasel my way through some people to just get to Starbucks, so I think I'm going to give it till about Wednesday to get down there. I'm pretty keen though, so yeah, it's exciting. Cool. So this is migration coexistence session, if you didn't read the sign at the front there. So I'm going to start off with this here. Okay. So welcome to Migration and Coexistence with Microsoft Linux Server. My name is Justin Morris. I'm a Link MVP and senior consultant from Modality Systems. We're based in Kirkland, Washington, and offices in London, UK. And as you can tell from the accent, I'm from Australia. And we've got a really good climate out in Australia, and everybody's like, "Oh, I want to move to Australia. It's fantastic, you know, beaches and really good country to live in." But one thing that I think a lot of you probably know about is that we have loads and loads of really dangerous and venomous animals. And one of those is the redback spider, which is this household little spider that's about the size of your, of kind of like a, like about this big or something. And if it bites you, it's venomous, and you literally have to get to the hospital as soon as possible, otherwise, like, you're gone for, right? So one of the things is that we have over 2,000 species of animals, of spiders within Australia that are venomous for you. So fortunately, I don't need to cover 2,000 things within this session today. I've just got 12 things that we need to cover. And really, what we're trying to do here is sort of avoid the pitfalls that you have within migration and coexistence. So I'm going to go through this again because I didn't know this was coming up. So this is Ayers Rock, where I'm from. So does anybody know what we don't call shrimp in Australia? Do you know what we call shrimp in Australia? Prawns, yes, exactly. So, and there's this stuff as well. I grew up on this stuff for breakfast in Australia. Who's tried Vegemite? Does anybody actually like it? No? Yeah? A couple? I love it. It's a bit of an acquired taste, but really good on toast. So yeah, we've got these beaches here, you know, which are fantastic, but this is really what Australia's like. I'm from that part down there where it says convicts, so just watch your surfaces, keep your surfaces nearby. So one of the really bad things we have is these box jellyfish. Now, these things, when they bite you, they have enough venom to kill 12 people. And if you don't get treated within, I think it's 2 hours, you're a goner. So, and typically these things will hang out in like remote areas. So if you're just like bashing about in the river and you get stung, chances are you're a bit done for. And we have signs like this. Imagine if you went out to your carport and found this guy on top of your SUV. These guys, they literally just sit around a tree and sleep all day. They're not the most exciting animal, but they're pretty cute. So this is the spider I was talking about, the redback spider. And it's so venomous that it's literally, you need to avoid it as soon as possible. So I'm going to skip through this because I mentioned it just before. Do, 2,000. Bang on 2,000 species of spiders there in Australia. So we've only got 12 things to cover within the session today. And what we want to do is avoid the falling rocks within your migration process. And while you're coexisting between previous versions of the product and Linux Server 2013, so you don't end up like this guy. This is some poor guy out in China that I don't know if he survived, but I really hope so. So don't let that be you, that guy, on a Monday morning when the CIO comes in and says, "Nobody can make phone calls anymore. What have you done?" and you've said, oh, I just decided to move everybody to Link 2013 and forgot to deploy new mediation servers or something like that. Because what we want to do is get you to this nirvana of a clear and nice path through to a pure Link Server 2013 environment. Cool, so as I said, Link MVP and senior consultant from Modality Systems. Now, we've got a pretty decent agenda to come through here. I mentioned about the 12 things. I'm not going to rattle all of these off because we're going to go into a lot of detail in them as we start to move through the session. So let's start off with your initial migration considerations. And now these are the things that you need to think about as part of the design process. So the things that Mark and Scott were talking about, when you're sitting down, you've got the whiteboard out, you've got your high-level design document in front of you, and you're starting to think about, okay, well, we've got OCS 2007 R2 today, or Link 2010, how do we get ourselves up to Link 2013 to enjoy some of these great new functionality benefits that are available in the product? So the first thing we need to think about is what version are you migrating from? Do you have R2? Are you on 2010? Do you have a mix of those? You know, do you need to get yourself onto one version to be able to migrate onto 2013? The next thing to think about, what features and what kind of topology are you going to deploy? Are you going to be deploying enterprise voice, in which case that's going to have a bearing on your topology and the amount of servers you deploy? And what kind of topology are you going to have from a service perspective and a HA perspective? You know, do you need an enterprise edition pool here in North America? Do you need one in Europe? This kind of thing. So there are all these things that you need to have set in stone before you start thinking about migration. And then next, we need to deploy and migrate from the inside out. So deploy your front-end pools initially, or the inside internal network infrastructure, and then deploy the edge servers. And then when you migrate your users from the legacy front-end pool to the 2013 front-end pool, and then decommission the edge servers as a last piece of that. So as I said, internal servers first, edge servers last. And the next thing here is some of the server roles that have been deprecated within Link 2013. So the AV conferencing server and monitoring servers are now co-located. So if you have a dedicated AV conferencing server pool today in 2010, you need to be aware that that goes away in 2013 and you need to build in AV conferencing resources into your front-end pool. And you need to know that new SQL databases can't be deployed on existing instances used by previous versions. And what I mean by that is that if you've got a 2010 pool with your back-end databases sitting on an instance, you can't reuse that instance for your 2013 pool. You need to provision a brand new instance to store those databases for the 2013 pool. And lastly, tri-existence is not supported. So you can't have OCS 2007 R2, Link 2010, and Link 2013 all running at once in the same environment. That's not a supported scenario. Okay, so let's get straight into the guts of everything and talk about migrating from OCS 2007 R2. Cool, so the first thing we need to think about is you need to install the latest cumulative updates onto your R2 servers. So this will permit the interop between Link 2013 and R2 to be able to, those servers to be able to talk to each other. The next thing you need to do is apply your AD updates and define the Link topology. So you need to go into the Link 2013 deployment wizard, prepare your schema, prepare your forest, prepare your domains to actually host Link 2013 resources. And then you can go about defining the first servers and infrastructure in the Link 2013 topology. So once the Link topology has been defined, we can go about actually deploying the first Link Server 2013 front-end pool. This is about standing up the first internal resources, that three front-end server pool with two back-end servers mirrored with a witness, like forming that really nice foundation for your entire environment. And the fourth thing we need to do is merge the OCS 2007 R2 topology into the Link topology. And I'm going to go into a couple of these things in a bit more detail in some slides ahead. And next, we need to import legacy policies and settings, and then configure your Link Server 2013 pool. 7 is a nice part, the migration of users. And then we complete our post-migration tasks and decommission OCS 2007 R2. So I brushed over a couple of those last ones then, because I want to cover these ones in a bit more detail because there is some considerations in these that you need to plan very carefully to ensure you're doing things in the right order and you don't impact service along the way. So, the merging of the R2 topology. What this does is when you've defined your new link topology, it populates it with all the legacy OCS 2007 R2 servers into it. So the link 2010 topology is aware of your legacy environment. And it creates this backcompat site within your link 2013 topology that has all R2 servers there listed in it. And to do this on the server that you run the merge of topology, you need to have the WMI backwards compatibility package installed. And this is because when we do a merge of topology, what that task does is goes off to those OCS R2 servers and gets the settings and configuration from the local WMI instance. Because if we think back to how OCS R2 stored its configuration, it had configuration in WMI on local servers, configuration in AD, and configuration in SQL. So we need to have that backcompat package installed so it can go in and talk into WMI. Okay, importing of legacy policies and settings. So what this is going to do is import all your legacy voice conferencing, external access, and archiving policies into Link Server 2013. So within the meeting settings in OCS R2, if you had some things defined there that dictated conferencing functionality for your OCS users, or some functionality within relating to external access that said my users can log in remotely, but they can't get federation or they can't get public IM connectivity, what this task here will do is take all of those legacy settings, move them into Link 2013, and make them available for assignment to users once they've been moved across. And so to do this, we're on the commandlet import-cs legacy configuration after the topology has been merged. And once those are imported, the legacy policies will be viewable within Link Server Control Panel. And you'll see when you go into remote user access and conferencing, they'll all be listed there with a comment that says migrated, so you can see which ones have been brought across from your legacy environment and which may be new ones that have been created. Okay, so once we've done some of the legacy import stuff, we're going to commence configuring the Link Server 2013 pool. So the first thing you need to do is connect to legacy edge servers in Topology Builder. So you've got your Link 2013 pool defined in Topology Builder, nice and clean, and then you've got your legacy R2 edge server sitting in the backcompat site. So then what you need to do is, within Topology Builder for that 2013 pool, is define that R2 edge as the associated edge pool for that pool, for the front-end pool. And what this allows is that once you move users onto the 2013 pool, they can still coexist with the R2 edge. And then what goes along with that is that you need to configure the legacy edge servers to allow connections from the Link 2013 pool. So for anybody that's got R2 there, you know that on the edge servers, you need to define a list of FKDNs that are authorized to connect to that edge server. So you need to go onto the edge server and say, yep, the FKDN of my 2013 pool is permitted to connect, and front-end FKDNs, things like that. Just as a show of hands, who is running OCS R2 today? Good few, okay. And who's running Link 2010? Vast majority. Good. Cool. Okay, great. And the third thing we need to do is configure any new policies and configurations. So we've imported all the legacy ones across, but now is your opportunity to configure new policies and configurations. So if you say, hey, I want a subset of users that can't do federation or a subset that can't have PIC connectivity, it's here that you would start to define those policies and say, okay, here's where I can provide that granularity. And based on business requirements, like assign those policies either to individual subsets of users or maybe individual sites. So now that we've actually configured the pool, we can get into the ghastly one where we hold our breath for a sec and we migrate our users across. So first thing you need to think of is what the commandlet is to do this, where we use move-cs legacy user. And because the users are on our R2 pool, they're considered legacy. So this is the command that we use to carry out this task. And then you think about how you're going to migrate. Are you going to be using some scripting to do this? Is there some sort of third-party tool that you can leverage to do this for you? Or are you going to do this manually and have a very hands-on approach to it? And as part of that scripting process, you may choose to assign any of those new policies that you've created. So voice policies, external access policies, system chat policies, things like that. And then one thing I want to mention here is more of a business thing, but one thing I've noticed in a lot of customers is that they don't consider their communication and training needs as much as they should. And because Link, especially when you're using it for voice, is such a cultural impact to the business, you need to make sure that you get this right and that when users get Link for the first day or Link voice, they don't start shouting and screaming and calling your service desk and telling them to remove this joke of a phone system. Okay, cool. So we've got all of our users now migrated from the R2 pool across to the Link 2013 pool. And everyone's working happily. It's chugging along, like no complaints, like people are loving it, like massive uptake of conferencing. Business is really happy. Now we can start to complete the post-migration tasks and the real like housekeeping things of IT administration and decommission. So the first thing we want to do is migrate the response groups across. So any response groups you were utilizing within R2, move those across to the 2013 pool. Migrate the dial-in access numbers. So all the functionality of users dialing into audio conferences needs to be moved over across to the 2013 pool. Migrate your voice routes. So this would be reconfiguring your 2013 voice routes to go out a particular mediation server or PSTN gateway or SIP trunk, something like that. Moving your Exchange UM contact objects, so subscriber access and auto attendance still work. And then removing your legacy archiving and monitoring servers. So because we've provisioned new data stores for archiving and monitoring, we can get rid of those legacy ones. And you may choose to store that data for regulatory requirements or some sort of thing like that. And then at this point, you would start to deploy the Link 2013 clients. And I'll talk about this in a later slide with the options you have available to you with client interop and coexistence. But you could do this as the first step or as the last step. Okay, and then finally, the good part where we all can sort of like wipe our hands clean and go down the pub is decommissioning of OCS R2. So what we need to do is move the conference directories first to Link 2013. Update your DNS SRV records because you don't need to change your DNS records in the first instance because once you move users across, they can still be logging into the Link 2010 pool and because the R2 pool, because the R2 pool is aware of the Link 2013 pool, it will redirect those users and continue working for as long as the R2 pool is there. But we need to update our DNS records to point to the 2013 pool because if we decommission the R2 pool and the DNS records are still pointing to the R2 pool, then users are going to come in the next day and not be able to log in. And thirdly, and decommission the OCS 2007 R2 servers. So going into the administrative tools and right-clicking remove server, uninstalling the binaries, things like that. And then lastly, you can remove the backcompat site from topology. So then that then leaves you with a nice, pure Link 2013 environment for which to move forward with. Okay. So I've covered moving from OCS R2, and now I'm going to dive straight into migrating from Link 2010, which from the show of hands before is going to apply to a whole lot of people. So what's our checklist for migrating from Link 2010 look like? First thing you need to do is once again install the latest CU onto all your Link 2010 servers, which I think is CU, April CU, no, sorry, May, June CU. And this once again permits interop between 2010 and 2013. Secondly, once again, apply your AD updates and download topology from existing deployment. And this is the first step within this migration plan that differs from R2. So before we were defining the topology for the first time, but with the migration from 2010, we're downloading topology from the existing deployment. Because 2010 and 2013 share topology, share CMS, that kind of thing, it really sort of slots in there, and there's less work you need to do to facilitate migration and coexistence. And thirdly, we define and deploy the Link Server 2013 pool, migrate our users, complete our post-migration tasks, and decommission Link Server 2010. So once again, I want to cover the last three here because they're a bit more important. There's some bit more like things involved that you need to be aware of when you're migrating from Link 2010 to 2013. The first one again here, migrate users. So the command that you use here is a little bit different. It's not a legacy command that you can use /move -cs user and then with a -move conference data commandlet, which is going to move all the users' conference data across from the 2010 pool to the 2013 pool. And then once again, you need to think about how you're going to migrate. Is there going to be some scripting involved? Assigning any new policies to these migrated users? And then finally, I reiterate this about the communication and training thing. If I had like a dollar for the amount of conference calls and meetings that I've had with customers where they're screaming at me and saying my Link environment doesn't work, but then I say, have your users read the training? And they say no. I would be buying everybody a round of drinks tonight, I think. So. Okay, so now we've migrated all the users across, we can complete the post-migration tasks for our migration from Link 2010. If we want to migrate the existing meetings and meeting content, migrate our dial-in access numbers again. So all those dial-in conferences are still available after we get rid of the 2010 pool. Migrate our call park settings. And call park is a feature that was new in Link 2010. So if you're a heavy user of call park or group call pickup, which is made available in CU1, you do need to migrate all these settings across so that functionality remains with your new Link 2013 pool. And then you need to migrate your response groups across, so all that IVR functionality continues. If you've got a lot of hunt group things going on, service desks, make sure all that continues to work. And then you need to migrate your common area phones and analog devices. Once again, this is another Link 2010 new feature. And so this means any of those common area phone contact objects that are being utilized for lobbies and hot desks and things like that need to be brought across independent from the user migration, along with the analog devices that are coming in through your gateways that you've got deployed. And then you need to redeploy your survivable branch appliances. And this is one I'm going to go into in a bit of detail in a second because there's some things to know about this one. And then deploy your Link 2013 clients. And so, as I said, I'm going to cover the redeploy of the SBA component there. Okay, so the first thing you need to do is move the branch users to another pool. So there's no real clear migration path from a 2010 SBA to a 2013 SBA. You first need to move the branch users back to a central pool so that they're sitting there and they're still being able to log in and use Link. And then you need to actually remove the 2010 SBA from the topology. So clear that out completely, get rid of it as if you were tearing it out. And then from there, you'd add the new Link Server 2013 SBA to topology and configure your central site front-end pool as a backup registrar. So kind of this is very much like a rip and replace migration. There's no real like side-by-side migration you can do for SBAs. And once the SBA is defined in topology, you can move those branch site users from the central site front-end pool back to the new SBA that's been deployed. Okay, so let's talk about the decommission of Link Server 2010. So once again, you need to update your DNS SRV records so that all your users are actually signing into the host record for the Link 2013 pool. And then you need to move the CMS to Link Server 2013. Once again, this is something that's new in Link 2010 and is unique to this migration path. Then you need to remove your archiving monitoring servers. And then remove the Link Server 2010 pool and the SQL Server databases assigned to that pool. So I want to cover in a bit more detail the actual CMS move here, because there are some steps involved, and it's a very critical part of the environment, right? So you need to make sure you get it right and that the swing across is completely seamless and fluid. Okay, so first thing you need to do is prepare the Link Server 2013 pool for the CMS. And this involves using the install-cs database commandlet, specifying that we want central management databases installed onto the 2013 pool. And we need to specify the SQL Server FQDN and instance name. And what this is then going to do is set up the 2013 pool with blank databases ready to accept the CMS and LIS databases from Link 2010. Once that's complete, you can use the move-cs management server commandlet to move CMS from 2010 to 2013. And the next thing we're going to do is verify the replication is completed using get-cs management store replication status to ensure that that last step we've run has run successfully, there hasn't been any failures or data loss or anything like that, because even though Link will continue running when CMS is offline, it means you can't make any configuration changes to the environment. So it's something that needs to be quite heavily looked after. And once the move has been completed, we need to remove the CMS databases from the Link 2010 pool using the uninstall-cs database commandlet. So then that pool knows that it's no longer a host of a central management database. Okay, so I've covered migrating from OCS 2007 R2 to 2013 and 2010 to 2013 in very pure two-version only scenarios, but what about if you've got an R2 and a 2010 environment within your organization? Hands up if you've got a mixed environment today of R2 and 2010. So yeah, fair few. Good, okay. So there's some considerations to have here. There is some options that you have available to you. And I'm going to run through these from kind of the top down from the left-hand side first. So the first option you've got is decommissioning that existing Link 2010 pool and then moving to Link 2013. So your client strategy is going to look like R2 clients can use the 2013 server for IAM and presence, but the live meeting console is not going to work against the Link 2013 pool. Your Link client needs to be deployed at migration, so this is one thing that you can't... You don't have a lot of flexibility with the migration of the client. But your R2 users can attend Link meetings via Link web app. So they do still have a conferencing capability available to them. From a server strategy perspective, you need to decommission that Link 2010 environment. You've got build the parallel 2013 infrastructure and then migrate the R2 users to the 2013 pool. And the advantages of these is single server migration, multiple client, the disadvantages rather, are that we've got multiple client migrations going on. So you've had 20 users running Link 2010. They've now had to fall back to OC 2007 R2, and then you're deploying them onto Link 2013. And this does require decommission and rollback of the 2010 clients. And this is really recommended for customers who are not heavy users of conferencing features today. So if you're just IAM and presence and things like that, then this approach may be good for you. And then we've got moving to your 2010 environment, decommissioning R2 and moving to Link 2013. And I'm not going to go through the rest of this because you can kind of read there and these slides will be available offline, but really the recommended approach for this is for customers who are heavy users of conferencing features in OCS R2 today. So there is some strategies available to you when you're in this mixed environment, but it does require a bit of legwork. There is some additional planning involved. And I understand this is very, very much a reality for a lot of you out there today. Okay, so I've covered all the server side of things with OCS and Link 2010. Now I want to talk about client coexistence and interop. So what do I do with all my different clients deployed out on different versions of PCs and Macs and things like that? What options do I have available? And here is what we've got available to us. So the first thing that I want to point out is that Link 2013 is supported against the Link Server 2010 backend, and Link 2010 is supported against the Link Server 2013 backend. So you can have 2010 or 2013 clients running at any one point in time, and they'll be interoperable with both versions of the server. Another thing to note here is that Link 2010 group chat is interoperable, but manual config is required. So you can't just open up the group chat client and hit auto config and be able to sign in. There's some manual configuration required to be able to sign in and use Link Server 2013 persistent chat. And the next one worth note is that Office Communicator 2007 R2 is interoperable with Link Server 2013, but only for IAM. So one thing to be aware of there. So some client considerations for Link 2013. These are things that I find trip up a lot of my customers as they're planning their 2013 deployments today. And these are things like Link 2013 not supported on Windows XP or Windows Vista. And this, I think, is a big kind of like a big warning sign goes off like in people's heads when they think about this, because I know a lot of customers are still running XP, still running Vista. Who's still running XP? A few? Yeah. So this could be something that's going to put a pause on your Link deployment while you complete your Windows 7 deployment, you know, and I'm going to make the assumption that that's currently underway. So this is definitely something to think about. And the next one is that Office 2007 is not supported either. So with deploying Link 2013, this does present you with a good opportunity to do a desktop refresh. Question? Yeah, the web app works on XP. Yeah, so you do have some meeting functionality still there. So as you can see, there's some pretty significant client requirements here to support Link 2013. And as I said in one of the previous slides, Live Meeting is not supported against Link Server 2013 because the way Live Meeting connects to its MCU is significantly different to the way Link 2013 connects to an MCU for a meeting. The join URLs are different. It's just like, it's like chalk and cheese, really. And the last one here is that you won't get any gallery view on Communicator R2 or Link 2010. And for those that don't know, the gallery view is like multiple video streams all in one kind of horizontal presentation, which is one of the great new video enhancements in 2013. Cool, so like I said, server or client first, it's really up to you because 2013 can connect to server 2010, 2010 can connect to server 2013. So what this does is gives you tons of flexibility to be able to deploy your 2013 pool and leave all your users running 2010, but migrate all their accounts across to 2013 and then start to carry out the server decommissioning process. And then you can leave that entire client deployment process to another day. You know, you could say, if you're quite a large environment or quite a complex environment, you could say, we want to approach this project in two streams. We want to do the backend server infrastructure first and then the client part first, because as I said in my last slide, you could find that, you know, you've got a mix of OSs out there and Office versions that's going to prohibit you from moving up to Link 2013 straight away. So you may want to maintain Link 2010 on the desktop for a bit, but already have the server infrastructure built out for Link 2013. So as I said, this is independent of your server migration. One thing to note here is users will only see the 2013 features when they're homed on a 2013 pool. So even if you were to deploy Link 2013 with users still homed on a Link 2010 pool, they're not going to see the 2013 features, so no gallery view, no persistent chat, things like that, until they're actually homed on a 2013 pool. Okay, what happens to attendee? Attendee, okay. Fortunately, no longer necessary. I've had loads of debates with customers. We're saying like, oh, we need to support attendee for external people, but we don't support attendee internally, so we need to make sure this is workable. And there's like support calls from anonymous users saying I can't install attendee and things like this. So this is really good that this is no longer necessary, because all attendees can now join the conferences with Link Web App 2013. They just install the nice little plugin, join within the browser, they've got audio and video right there to use. So much more easy, so much more seamless. Okay, changes to Link Phone Edition. There's no new devices expected for Link Phone Edition within the 2013 timeframe. Your existing Aries devices will continue to work with Link Server 2013. So this is your CX500, CX600s, those kind of devices. The good thing is the latest firmware will work with both Link Server 2010 and 2013. And you'll see when you download the firmware from a Microsoft website that it just says Link Phone Edition. It doesn't say Link Phone Edition 2010 or 2013. It's one version of firmware that works with both server versions. And the fourth thing I wanted to mention here is 3PIP, this third-party IP phone story that's developing out of Microsoft now. And this is vendors like Audio Codes and the Polycom VVX series that are third-party produced IP phones that work with Link And this is actually a really interesting thing that if you're not having a look at it already, go off and have a look at these vendors' phones that are out there in the Tech Expo. Because they can do some really interesting stuff that features that may not be in Link Phone Edition, that are legacy PBX things that are quite niche, some of these 3-pip phones are available that can do that. So definitely I'm gonna go check those out. Okay, next I wanna cover the Auto Discover service. And this is something that's brand new in Link 2013. And what happens with this is rather than users looking for the SRV records, Link 2013 clients, including the Windows 8 app, are going to search for linkdiscoverinternal.contoso.com, your SIP domain, and failing that, try and connect to Link Discover A record. And this is because the SRV record is being de-emphasized. And what the Auto Discover service does is allows users to locate their registrar. So when a user hits the Auto Discover service, what that service on IIS and the front-end server does is says, oh, hi, you're Bob at contoso.com. Your registrar FQDN is this. Here's the external URL. And here's the external web services URL as well. So it provides one central ingress point for client login. So it's kind of, it hits the Auto Discover service, gets a bunch of URLs, and then makes a second connection in. And one thing to note here is a Link Discover internal A record must point to your internal pool. So a thing to think of here is that you do need to find a front-end pool within your environment that is going to be the sole recipient of Link Discover internal connections, unless you can do some sort of localized DNS globally or something like that where you can point clients to different A records. You do need to say, here's my 2013 pool, and it's going to take all the Link Discover internal requests. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, so to say 5061, like in the service record. Yep. So, yeah, there's no, I don't believe you can do that with the Auto Discover service. It's going to, when the Link 2013 client hits the Auto Discover service, it's going to return the list of URLs, the FQDNs and URLs to connect to. I don't know, actually. If you want to, we can take it offline and find out. Thanks. So this is something you really need to be aware of, because it was in Link 2010, but it was really only used for the Link 2010 mobile client. The desktop clients didn't use this. So it's something you need to think about with a lot more consideration in 2013. Okay, so we've covered the internal servers. I've covered some of the client coexistence things, Auto Discover. Now I want to talk a bit more about edge server migration. So what do we do with the edge server pools you've got out in your DMZ? So essentially, you've got two options here to migrate your edge servers. First one being a rip and replace, and the second one being a side-by-side transition. And the rip and replace essentially is going to mean you've got your Link 2010 edge pool deployed today, and then maybe you say on a Friday night or a Saturday, say, I'm going to tear that completely down and hold on to all my public IPs and public FQDNs, things like that, tear out the 2010 pool completely, and then provision a brand new 2013 pool. So obviously this would incur some outage for Federation and public IM connectivity, remote user access, but allows you to just rip it out completely and replace it in one big bang. Whereas a side-by-side transition would mean having a 2010 edge pool, 2013 edge pool running at the same point in time with unique external FQDNs and unique public IPs assigned on both, and then flicking over your SRV records externally and things like that to have both coexisting at one point in time. So some things to talk about with Federation. If you're using closed Federation, i.e. Your partner organizations are connecting to a manually specified FQDN on their side, you need to make them aware that the FQDN has changed, especially if you've done the side-by-side transition. And one thing I've noticed with edge server migrations is this is something that's not completely automatic. I've done an edge server migration before where we swung across to a 2013 edge pool, and then we had reports of presence being unknown to certain partners and their issues. We needed to reach out to their IT department and get them to restart their Access Edge service and things like this. So it is something that requires some planning and communication as well. From a public IAM connectivity standpoint, you need to notify your providers of an Access Edge FKDN change. So if your edge changes from SIP.contoso.com to SIP2013.contoso.com, you need to make the change in the PIC provisioning service from Microsoft. And this is especially important now with Skype Federation. Okay, so I've covered the edge service migration. Let's talk about external web services. So this is things like your external web URLs, your meeting join URL, your external web services URL for your front-end pools. So what you first need to do is create two new web publishing rules on your TMG, which unfortunately has gone away, but TMG or your F5s or whatever's doing your reverse proxy requirements, create two new web publishing rules, one that publishes the external web services URL of the 2013 pool, and then the second one is publishing the external web farm URL of your Office Web Apps pool, so that when users externally are viewing PowerPoint presentations, they can come in and access that web service. And the next thing we need to do is point simple URLs at your 2013 director or front-end pool virtual IP so that all users, when they're clicking the meeting join within Outlook, are hitting the virtual IP for your 2013 pool rather than 2010 pool. Okay, group chat migration. Who here in the room is using group chat today? Good few? Oh, good, I'm impressed. Who's had a completely painless experience deploying group chat? No one. Okay. So, group chat, I think, is one of those features within the product that doesn't get as much love as it should, because it's so powerful, but it's just, it hasn't been available to people like in the way it should be in previous versions of the product. But now within 2013, it's so much easier to deploy. It's integrated in the unified client. So really, like, people don't have any excuse not to use persistent chat anymore. It's really right there in front of them. So you can start using it for project teams and follow the sun operations, trading, things like that. I think it's really powerful, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more user adoption of this. Is that a question? So the question was, is group chat still going to require its own server? It can be co-located with Standard Edition, but it does require its own server with Enterprise Edition. So you need a standalone persistent chat server. Okay, so I've just sort of barked on about the virtues of persistent chat. Let's talk about the migration. So the first thing, obviously, you need to do is deploy a Link 2013 persistent chat server. So start to stand up the new environment that's going to accept all your chat rooms. Next thing you need to do is migrate the legacy chat room data across from Link 2010 to Link 2013. And then you need to decommission the legacy group chat servers. So first thing, migrating legacy chat room data. This is a fairly, like, it's an involved process. There's some PowerShell command that's involved to do this. And the first thing you need to do is stop all the services on your legacy group chat servers. So this is going to require some outage to group chat. And then to export all the legacy chat room data. So from a 2013 server, we run the export-cs persistent chat data commandlet, specifying the database instance and a file name to dump that data out to. And once we've got the data actually exported from 2010, we want to stop all the services on the 2013 persistent chat server. So we've got a completely stopped environment. Everything's ground to a halt that allows us to do a lift and shift of the actual group chat data. So once we've got the 2013 persistent chat servers all stopped, we can use the import-c persistent chat data commandlet, specifying the file name that you dump the data out to import legacy chat room data. Then you need to port the lookup server URI to link server 2013. So this is that OCS chat at sipdomain.com user object that existed within link 2010. So you delete that, but then create a new endpoint using u-cs persistent chat endpoint with that same URI. And once the endpoint's created, you can start services on your link 2013 persistent chat servers. Okay, so next thing we need to do is decommission our legacy group chat servers, uninstall group chat from the legacy servers, and then remove the trusted application and trusted application pool entries from topology. So within the link 2010 topology group chat servers, they weren't really a first-class citizen. They were sitting there as a trusted application pool entry, and the link 2010 pool kind of communicated them with them in a kind of third-party basis. So you'd remove those entries from topology and sort of start to clean out the environment. Okay, moving down the stack here, I want to talk about mobility coexistence, because with mobility having like more and more emphasis within Link 2013, there is some considerations to be aware of here, moving from 2010 to 2013. And so we've got this table here that really depicts what the scenario is. So if you've got Link 2010 mobile clients, those will obviously continue to work with Link Server 2010 with the mobility service. And they will continue to link with use with Link Server 2013 because Link Server 2013 has the MCX service built into it as well for backwards compatibility. But when you've got, once you've got CU1 installed with mobility enabled, when a 2010 mobile client logs in, they'll get a notification to upgrade to the latest version. But then on the flip side, if you're running Link 2013 mobile client on your iPhone or Windows phone and you're trying to sign into a Link Server 2010 pool, you will get an error that says you can't sign in with this version. And this won't actually be lit up until the user account's moved over to a 2013 pool with mobility enabled. So this is definitely something to be aware of and communicate to your users. I've seen this happen within some customers already where, because the Link 2013 mobile client is available in the app stores, people just go, oh, cool, download. And then they try and sign in and they say, oh, this hasn't worked. And they complain to the IT department. So users need to sort of have some communication with them. There is some information within the actual app on the store, but this is something you need to be aware of so that when users, they need to be aware they can't just download it and install it if they're not on the 2013 pool. Okay, so we've covered like tons of content around how we migrate and coexist from different components of the environment, the group chat and edge services and things like this. What management options do you have available to you during coexistence? Because if you've got a 2010 pool and a 2013 pool deployed side by side, you might want to maintain a period of coexistence of 6 months or something like this, you know, that to be able to effectively manage that deployment across, you know, multiple locations. So what options do you have available to you to continue to manage the environment during coexistence? The first thing to be aware of here is that any new changes that you make to the OCS 2007 R2 topology requires a remerge of the 2013 topology. So if for whatever reason you remove or add a server within the R2 environment, you then need to perform a remerge of the 2013 topology. And then once Link Server 2013 has been deployed, the previous versions of the tools can no longer be used. So as soon as that first 2013 topology has been published, you have to start using the 2013 topology builder. You've got to use 2013 Management Shell, 2013 Control Panel. Those three tools are what you continue to use from there. So you can get rid of all, like, especially if you've got admin boxes like that you use for central management of all your Microsoft services, that you need to uninstall the like 2010 Management Shell and Topology Builder and things like that and utilize 2013. Okay, I wanted to cover here bespoke migration scenarios because as part of my job as a consultant, I do come across some scenarios out in customers where they say, oh, we've got this in this domain and this in this forest and this in another company that we haven't really finished acquiring yet and we want to move to Link 2013. And they say, how do we do it? And I go, okay, and kind of sit there for a bit and try and work out a really least path of resistance to their kind of end goal of success, really. So I wanted to share with you a couple of bespoke migration scenarios that I've come across within my field work. So really, this is a situation where front-end pools cannot be easily migrated. So in a cross-forest scenario of mergers or acquisitions, so say I've got a 2010 front-end pool in domain A.com and I want to deploy a 2013 pool into domain B.com. So I did have a scenario with a customer where they were doing a AD forest move during their Link migration. So their migration sort of plan ended up looking like move the user object to domain B and, you know, export out data and move this like group chat things across like this. And it became quite convoluted. So there are some options available to you here, where you can use things like DB import export in OCSR2 and Link 2010 and the import-CS user data commandlet in Link 2013. One thing to be aware of here is that you do need to use the convert-CS user data commandlet to convert it from the format that DB import export uses into a format that import-CS user data can interpret. But this does provide you with a lot of flexibility because you could say, yeah, I've got this pool over here that is not even in the same AD forest at all, but I can just dump out all their contact lists and then import them using import-CS user data. And when they log in for the first time, they've got all their contact list intact and really, you know, that's been a very light impact to the user base. And another scenario you might want to consider is a lift and shift of group chat database. There is some tweaks and things here, but really, like, the group chat database is kind of quite fault tolerant. So within a table within the group chat database, you can actually go in and change the registrar of QDN that talks to. So if you've got a scenario where you need to lift it out of R2 and shift it into 2010, there are some options available to you. And if you've got some questions, I'm happy to come and field those after the session. Okay, great. So some key takeaways that I wanted to cover in this session is that really, try existence is not supported, so you really need to know before you go. So if you've got R2 and 2010 today, what do you need to do to get onto one version of that product to be able to migrate to Link 2013? Do you need to completely decommission R2 and move to 2010, or decommission 2010 and move back to R2, depending on what your conferencing requirements are? This is really something to understand. Now, there's nothing stopping you having all three deployed at once within the environment. Topology Builder won't complain. Your environment won't complain. The simple thing is that it's not supported by Microsoft. So there's a supportability statement to understand there. The next one is you need to plan your client server deployments and migration as well. Do you need to do the double hop? So you need to do a client double hop or a server double hop, but you do have flexibility within the client side of things. And thirdly, you need to understand new client access via AutoDiscover service. So this is something that we could sort of just say, oh, we've got it working within 2010, like previously, but within 2013 now, we really need to understand how it works and provision it well, because we could have users out there using the Windows 8 client that leverages this directly. We have users out there using mobile clients on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. So we need to make sure this is provisioned correctly, then it's accessible. Okay, is there any questions anybody has they didn't bring up in the session there? Oh, sorry, this guy, I have him first. Right. So the question was, is with Office 2007 being not supportable in 2013, is it just a supportability thing or is it a technical limitation? The answer to that is it's a technical limitation. So the presence information won't light up in Outlook 2007. There's a difference in the presence model and the persona menu that Link, previous versions of Link and Office Communicator users and 2013 users. So if you try and install Link 2013 on the Office 2007, it's just the presence won't light up at all. So, yeah. Oh, question? So Link 2010 SBA with the 2013 backend. Yep. That's in a coexistence scenario is supported. Yeah. So the question was, can I run a Link 2010 SBA with the 2013 front end pool in coexistence? Yes, you can, but with the understanding you want to decommission the 2010 SBA and move to 2013 SBA. So the question was, can you pair them? It's a good question. I don't know the answer to, unfortunately. We can take it offline. I'll try and get the answer for you. Yeah. The question up the back there. Okay, so the question was, with TMG being discontinued and UAG being unsupported with Link 2013, what's the recommended approach? That's a really good question. It is a pain point right now that I experience in a lot of customers, and particularly a lot of new customers deploying Link for the first time because they can't buy TMG, right? So the answer is try and leverage what appliances you have available to you. So if you've got hardware load balancers or Citrix NetScalers, things like that, that can do reverse proxying, that's a good easy win. But if you don't have that available to you, it's a story that's still developing, unfortunately. Yeah. But I think this guy was before, so. Okay, yeah, so the statement was they moved CMS from 2010 to 2013 before they migrated their users. That's completely fine. Yeah, that's not supported or anything. That works. I mean, and as you've probably seen, it continues to work, doesn't it? So, yeah, cool. Another question? It depends on the size of your topology. I've got a particular customer with like 25 sites globally with multiple pools within those sites. And I think their topology document is like 7 or 8 meg. So it's minutes really. So the original question was how long is the CMS migration going to take? It shouldn't take very long. You just need to ensure the replication status comes up as successful after that. Cool. Question over here? Yeah, that's a really good question. The question was, do I still need a director? Is there any benefit to that? The benefit I see with directors still is if you have multiple pools deployed. So with a director, you can terminate your link discover and meet URLs and everything on the director, and then it then becomes that sort of router for you, basically, over to different front-end pools. So that's where it has some benefit to it. And also, as you said, as a kind of extra layer of security coming in from the DMZ where you can offload the authentication requirement. So it does still have some benefits, but it's not recommended anymore. It's very much an optional role within 2013. Okay, question over here?
The management tools, can you still use the 2010 management tools to manage 2010 servers? Or if you've got 2013 in your environment, you only use the 2013 management
As soon as the 2013 environment has been deployed, you need to start using the 2013 tools to manage the 2010 environment as well. Okay. Yep. Sorry, I should have repeated. The question was, once I've deployed 2013, do I need to use the 2013 management tools to manage 2010 servers? And the answer is yes. Cool, question here. There is, yeah. So the question was, with migration, how does that affect Outlook web app integration? So with that, you need to go into the Exchange Client Access Server and point it to a different FQDN. It will continue to work if the users are moved across because of the way the SIP redirection occurs between Outlook web app and your link environment. Within Outlook web app, when the user signs in, they'll hit the 2010 pool and get redirected, but you would need to redirect Outlook web app, the client access server, to the 2013 pool before you'd like decommission the 2010 pool. Okay, question over here. Yeah, so the question was, is it supported to run 2013 Edge servers with a 2010 front-end pool? I don't know the answer to the question off the top of my head, but I can check for you if that sort of forwards compatibility is there. So, yeah, if you come back to me afterwards, I'll take a note and get back to you. Question up back? So the question was, what's the impact to PIC with the provision of a new edge? Is that that's correct? So the edge deployment will continue working after you've made the PIC provisioning change, because the thing with PIC provisioning is you like request the change and you don't get much like insight as to what's going on and when that takes place sometimes. So it is something you need to have both stood up and serviceable and online to be able to accept that change when the PIC provisioning takes place. But as far as impact to the existing Edge server, it would stop accepting PIC requests. Cool. Does that answer the question? Kind of. Question over here. So the question is, Link 2013 compatible with Exchange 2010 UM? And the answer to that is yes. I've got a customer that's running that today. They've got 2010 UM and 2013 server and client. It works fine. Cool. Question over here. So the question was, with the 2010 group chat client and the manual configuration required for that, can you define the manual configuration through a GPO? And it's a good question. So there is a group chat GPO, so that should be possible. Yeah, I would say that would be possible. I haven't tested it, but I think that's something you could do, yeah. Yeah, cool. Any more questions? Oh, sorry, this over here, sorry. Yep. Okay. The question was, if you have cookie link today, is there a supported Link 2013 client? And the answer is you need to speak to Cisco about that, because Cisco support cookie link, so it's really their product to provide some guidance on. Okay. Question over here at the front. Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so the comment was CMS was migrated from 2010 to 2013 and that impacted group chat functionality with the web services side of things. That's the first I've heard of that occurring. Group chat doesn't have any dependencies, on CMS. I'm just trying to think of it as a trust and application impact on that. Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, if you want to come and have a chat about it later, I'll be keen to hear a bit more about that. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah. Cool. Is any other questions before we finish up? Yep, at the front. Yeah, so I didn't cover much around the voice side of things because I kept this very much version focus between just like your core kind of services thing, because voice interop and that kind of thing is really like another kind of kettle of fish that I haven't covered in this session. I think there's some voice sessions later on during the week that content should be covered. Great. Okay. Cool. So the question was about to deploy Link 2013, and they want to know if you can buy a Link 2013 SBA today. Yeah. The answer is yes. The gateway and SBC vendors have started building 2013 versions of their products, and you should be able to buy them today. Yeah. Okay, any more questions before we finish up? So one thing I wanted to note is that we've got a book available in the bookshop, Link Server 2013 Unleashed, written by a couple of authors from us at Modality. It's worth checking out if you want to learn more about the product. And you can find me later at the Link booth and on Twitter at Justin Morris without the N. And there's some resources here that you can find as well. And then one thing is complete an evaluation on ComNet because you can win some cool prizes as well. So worth checking out. Okay, thank you very much for coming to my session.